Kia ora and welcome to Making Pommy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson and my guest today is Miriam Finlay. Morning, Miriam.
Good morning, Lorna. Thank you very much for inviting me to your guest today.
It's lovely that you had the time to come in and talk to us. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing more about your settling in Palmerston North, because you've been here a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, it's almost 29 years now.
Wow, okay. Yeah. So that's even before I came to New Zealand, and certainly a good long time to be settling in Palmy. So tell us a little bit about what it was that brought you here. How is it that you decided to come to Palmerston North, and where were you coming from?
We were in Leven at that time, but when my husband had a stroke, and he needed a rehabilitation. So for his rehabilitation, we shifted to here in Palmerston North. And at that time, he was in a wheelchair and still struggling to walk. So yeah, I like it here because it's a city and more people. And like when I first came out, I was in Invercargill, and then Foxton, and then Leven, and here. Yeah.
So when you first came to New Zealand, Palmy wasn't the first stop. Your first place coming to was Invercargill?
Yes, yeah.
A good bit colder than Palmerston North, I'd say,
doesn't it? That's right. I came out October 1989.
Okay. Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about your country of origin and something about that.
Well, I came out from Mindanao in the Philippines, I was, at that time when I come out, before I come out here, I was working as a full-time staff in a Bible Baptist church. But before that, prior to that, I was a hotel and restaurant management in my own hometown. And then I thought I was called by God to be in the full-time ministry. So I went to Manila, and then in Santa Ana, Manila, and worked there as a full-time staff.
Okay. So Manila's the capital, is it, of Philippines?
Yes, that's right, of the Philippines.
So I'm expecting that not too many people in Palmerston North would have been to the Philippines. So tell us a little bit about the Philippines as a country. What can you tell us about it?
Well, for me, it's a beautiful country. It had three main islands, Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao, and I've been through all of them because I was born in Visayas, I grew up in Mindanao, and I studied my degree in Manila, which is in Luzon. Yeah, and I have compared these three islands. I would probably still settle in Mindanao because it was like a thriving, particularly my town, it was a thriving city or town at that time. And people just help each other, and we're all from different ethnicities.
Yeah, so it was quite a multicultural environment. Yeah, very multicultural.
Because different ethnic groups like Ilocano, Bisayan, Muslim, Maguindanao, and everything. Yeah, okay. So I'm used to multiculturalism. Really.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting fact which we'll link into later when we talk about some of your work with multicultural council. Yeah. So. What was the attraction of coming to Invercargill? Was that as part of your work?
No. I was sponsored by my auntie and my uncle as a tourist because they wanted me to come out and see what New Zealand is like. But before that, Lou had seen my photo in the wedding album, and he jokingly said to my uncle, what's her name? She's going to be my wife one day, which is a joke, really a joke.
Funny.
And then, when I come out here, started courting me, and that's how we came out. But, he inquired about the Philippines when I was still as a full-time staff.
Right.
Wanting to find out some missionaries that he had supported in the Philippines.
Okay.
Yeah. But I never heard of them. Yeah, at that time.
So you weren't really intending to stay for a long, long time.
Yeah, I was. But I already have a feeling that I will be because I think it was a childhood dream when I was when after my father died that I wanted to find a peaceful place.
Yeah.
And then because my father was murdered when I was 14.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. And then at that time I was trying to look for meaning of life and really what else out there for me. So, then I watched this movie, Sound of Music.
Yeah, I think everyone's familiar with that one.
Yeah, I said, oh, I'd love to have to be on that place one day. And then when I was driving, when we were driving from the airport, because the airport was in Christchurch.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, this is like my dream. It's like, oh, wow.
What, with all the mountains?
Yeah, with all the mountains and everything. Because, you know, the song.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, this is like my dream. And then, I said, oh, I like it here. And so when Luke courted me and everything and asked and proposed, and I said, oh, yes, okay.
Oh my goodness, yeah. That's a great story.
Yeah, it was.
What were the first few years like in New Zealand? What was your experience of settling here at that time?
It was a struggle because first I was away from my loved ones, and then for some reason Lou have lost his business. That's the main reason why we shifted to Folkestone.
All right.
Yeah, he got done by a business partner. And financially, it was such a struggle. But I was just I'm overwhelmed with some people who are willing to, very generous to help, like financially and also materially, like, yeah.
So
yeah.
Was that just people that you had got to know in New Zealand or church connections? Or
yeah, church connection. Yeah. And yeah, they were. Yeah, I remembered when Sierra was born, and we did not really have any much preparation, but through friends, I was able to borrow, it was, and friends gave me some nappies, and yeah, it was just overwhelming, really. And so I said, I want to give back with what I have experienced. So, and then I think what had really touched me was when we settled here in Palmerston North, aside from church connection, the community have also rallied around to help us because Lou was in a wheelchair. We had Salvation Army gave us some food parcel. We don't really need it, but we just appreciate that. I said, oh wow, and then they have the hospital was so kind to some social worker like Helen Simmons, I think. Yeah, she was one of the social worker that have helped us. Yeah. Oh,
so you had some quite difficult experiences then.
Yeah,
fairly
yeah,
early on,
it was.
Didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, it was. It was living by faith, really. Oh. Like and really wanting to be just relying on God, relying on church people and relying on the community. And I when we first settled here, I think when Lou started being a volunteer as a fundraiser for Audrey Green Disability Center, because of the business, we lost the car and everything, and he got given the brand new car and then the mayor was very supportive also. At that time, Paul Rieger, was our mayor.
Yeah.
And he became a member of Safer Community Council at that time.
Well, I mean, that's really good to hear that, you know, that when you moved to Palmerston North, which you sort of had to do because of your husband's illness, that there was good support around you.
It was that's why I said I'd like to have this experience be experienced by other people who settle here, because it's overwhelming if you don't have anyone. So we had made some friends through Filipino community.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was Lou who had encouraged the one Filipino couple to start a Filipino community, which is now called Philippine Central Association. And I was pregnant at that time when we met this couple at the supermarket, and he said to this couple, "You guys really need to have a support group for the Filipinas who comes here, and for the whole community, and also for the children to know their heritage."
Yes.
So that's why we, at that time, on the early stage of the Filipino community, we had a language NIS.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell us about how you got involved with that development of the local Filipino community then. Was that your first involvement in the sort of multicultural kind of
sector?
Yes,
It was because in January 16, 1991, that's when the Filipino group was formed, Philippine Central Association. Yeah. We named it Philippine Central Association, and we became active with participation in the community, and then because other groups are already established, the Chinese and the Indians, and I think it was in 93. 92, that the Paul Rieger have talk about the unity of all the culture of all the cultures. So he said, why don't you organize a community group? Because it was at that time the Dutch community also have their own big celebration, and they included some groups. They invited some Filipino groups. So, Paul Rieger was really attracted to it. He said, "Why don't you guys show that one in the square instead of just keeping it to yourselves?"
Yeah.
So, Ramon, who is the first president, Ramon Herrera, was asked to lead the group and to steer the group, and then Helen Witten, Hiratangai were involved, and Lou at that time was also all involved in community group, and so they had a meeting, and one of the city council staff, she's now in Hamilton, organized International Day.
And so that was the start of the Festival of Cultures.
Yeah, that was in 93.
Wow.
So that's why the first president was Ramon Herrera of Multicultural Manawatu at that time.
Yeah, that was the name of the, it's now Manawatu Multicultural Council, but at that stage.
Yeah.
So that's really fascinating. So that was how it all got started.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
So from small beginnings, look at where it's at today.
Yes, I know, yeah.
So you've been involved for a very long time, haven't you?
Yes, in 91.
And you yourself were president, weren't you, of the Manawatu Multicultural Council
I came after Gerald Wong because he asked me, because I was actively involved. He said, Miriam, you may as well be the president because I'm stepping down. You may as well be. And I said, okay. I don't know what I have to go through. But I said, I've never been a president before. But okay, that's all right. No worries. So it was in 94 to 96.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, we'll just take a little break at the moment and listen to some music, and then we'll be back to carry on this conversation. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
buhay ko'y lagi ang hirap at pasakit ng pusong umiibig. Man di wala ng langit at nang lumigaya, hinang mo mo sa dusa, tanging ikaw sinta ang aking pag-asa. Dahil sa'yo nais kong mabuhay, dahil sa'yo hanggang mamatay. Ikaw rin dahil sa'yo ako'y lumigaya pagmamahal.
Fantastic. So we're back now on Making Palmy Home, and my guest today, Miriam Finlay. So before the break, Miriam, we were talking about you being sort of handed the role of president of Manawatu Multicultural Council, and that was in the 90s.
Tell
us what it was like at that stage. Were there many groups involved? What sort of things were you doing?
There were, when we started, there was about 27 groups. Small ones. And our role as a council is very much through advocacy of people who getting racially abused, yeah, like right. People at students at IPU, and yeah,
okay,
yeah, at that time, and people who needs employment, like we used to have a program called Employment Facilitation,
right.
Which is now Network of Skilled Migrants,
yeah,
and we have. Our coordinator at that time was Robert Sharif, and we integrate with people from like we invite people from Toyota, and just to orient them that these migrants have came out here skillful, yeah. And so you need to try. You don't need to make a. Like reject the application because we don't qualify your, we don't have your experience. But if you give us a chance, then we will try our very best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think things have changed much from those days? If you sort of compare how things are now for migrants finding employment compared to what it was like in the 90s. Has there been much improvement, do you think?
I think so, because yeah. And now there are lots of Filipinos in the hospital, and in Toyota there are a few Filipinos and Pacific Islanders, and yeah, and in the hospitality there's a lot of Filipinos who are, and in farming industry, yeah.
Yes, farming particularly. I think dairying relies quite heavily,
yes,
doesn't it,
yeah,
on Filipino migrants coming over and bringing their skills.
Yes, that's right.
So how has the Filipino community in New Zealand grown over that time?
Oh, I think through media and everything and the open policy,
yeah.
Were able to recruit more Filipinos, and it attracted through the media, through the Facebook, people showing off what the country is like.
Yeah.
Yeah. People
attracted more people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Like I have one lady from my hometown, works here as a draftsman, drafts person in iModel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, would you have an idea of how many Filipinos there are in New Zealand at the moment?
Well, 72,000, according to 2018 statistics,
yeah.
There are 72,612.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a very accurate statistic,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but maybe it had increased, but yeah. We don't know yet. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite a big group, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so there's regional Filipino associations in each part of New Zealand?
Yes.
And then, yeah. Like, I assume a national organisation to keep everybody together?
Yeah, yeah. There is a Federation of Filipinos. Association in New Zealand, and that's why we are going to host this Filipino.
Yes,
Labor
now tell
weekend.
Us about this event that you've got coming up. This is very exciting.
Oh, well, on October 22 to 24, we are going to be hosting a Labor Weekend festival, which we have started in 1991. It's in Auckland, and we're going to have a competition in basketball, volleyball, bowling, golf, and also a beauty pageant show, a beauty pageant competition, Philippine-New Zealand beauty, yeah.
So this is going to be held in Palmerston North?
Yes.
But for all of the Filipino associations,
yes,
across,
right.
New Zealand.
Yes, that's right.
And yeah. How many people do you think will be coming?
We're expecting 3,000 to 5,000 Filipinos.
Wow.
Yeah.
And will any of the events be open to the public? Is it?
Yeah, all the events are open to the public, except for the beauty pageant and the cultural. It's a ticket. One, you
right.
Need to buy a ticket to get into. Because we, in the past event, in 2006, we had our event, the beauty presentation, the national beauty competition is at the was at the region, but because it's now booked for some show, we're having it at the Boys High, Ian Colhoun Hall, right. And it has a capacity of 600 people. So yeah,
right.
It's bigger than Spear Center.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I guess you've got such a lot of people coming. You know, some of those sorts of things will need to be a bit limited to tickets so that you can control the numbers.
We only have 600. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I think this is quite exciting. Will you be doing some advertising about it?
Yes, we are. Going to do some. Actually, we had our show like the Philippine Independence celebration on June 12th. It was at the library. That was to promote also. And this coming July 22 through the Manawatu Business Chamber of Commerce, we are having an after five.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you'd like to register to that, you're most welcome.
Okay,
yeah, and
awesome.
We also have our yearly program now, which is called Kundirana, which is one way of enhancing and cultivating talents of Filipino who are into music, into singing, into dancing. Yeah.
Fine.
So that will be in August. Yeah.
So you've got a lot going on.
Yes.
A lot going on.
Yeah, I've been doing fundraising too.
Yeah.
Doing application for fund. Yeah.
They're lucky to have you.
So
look, we've just got a few minutes left. Let's just talk a little bit about your family because we haven't had much time to kind of mention them. Are all your children grown up now?
Yes, yeah. My eldest daughter is now 30 years old and she's getting married on November 13th.
Oh, that's a very nice event to be looking forward to, isn't it?
I know. Yeah, my daughter is coming home today from Australia, from Melbourne.
Right.
She's working there as a communication coordinator for Origin, the power company.
Yeah.
Yeah, and her and her partner are coming home this afternoon.
Just for a holiday or?
For holiday and also because her partner's grandfather died last year, so they're having a memorial service. So although she's arriving today, she'll be in Auckland because the memorial service will be in Auckland. And my second child is working as a CTO at the railways.
Right.
Yeah, that's what he does for the last 6 years now.
So you've had a busy time supporting a growing family and doing all of this community work, Miriam, but it sounds like you've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did because whatever life throws at you, you need to just go get on with it and because being the only person in my family that is here in Palmerston North, I have to adopt people along to be my sisters, my grandmother, and I have adopted grandfather, mother, and everything.
Yes, you've made your own family in a way.
Yeah, I made my own family because there's no one else. So young couple asked me, how did you manage when the children were young? And I said, well, I have adopted so many sisters in our church that I have babysitters lined up to go so that we're able to go to different events. Yeah, and that's, I'm really grateful, really, really, really grateful for all of that. Yeah, really.
Well, I mean, I think it's a great story and some good advice for people settling in Palmerston North. But And also, you know, I think I want to acknowledge all of the work that you've done over very, very many years to make this a more welcoming and better place for migrants to settle. So thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
So, everyone, you've been listening to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson. My guest today was Miriam Finlay. And you can catch the show on the podcast on npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home. Cheerio.